So Matt, I have never, I don't think I've ever heard of trying of impeaching a an agency head. How does that work?
Well, Tom, Rod Rosenstein is a political appointee and can be impeached like any other political appointee can. There was a move to impeach the head of the IRS under previous Congresses when there was a belief that they were targeting conservatives. There was not sufficient support to ultimately do that, but it's not unprecedented for members of Congress to call for impeachment when the official duties of an appointee are not being performed.
You say not unprecedented. Was the IRS head the first time it'd been tried, or?
No, that I don't believe it's the first time. Of course, we've had two presidents that have been impeached, but it was the most recent example of articles of impeachment being filed in the Congress, much in the way my colleagues and I have filed articles of impeachment against Rod Rosenstein.
Okay, and tell me what the rationale was for filing the articles of impeachment against Mr. Rosenstein.
So, yeah, there are several legal bases to impeach Rod Rosenstein. One is that he has failed to recuse himself in oversight of the Mueller investigation despite the legal obligation to do so. That obligation arises because Rosenstein is a fact witness. He wrote the memo to fire Comey and now believes he can oversee the investigation into whether or not the firing of Comey constituted obstruction of justice. That's a ludicrous position to maintain. In a far more troubling way, Rod Rosenstein has withheld documents from the Congress, has improperly redacted documents that he's produced, not with information that was sensitive to national security, but just stuff that was embarrassing to the FBI. For example, they redacted that Peter Strzok had a personal relationship with Rudy Contreras, one of the judges on the FISA court. There was no national security reason to redact that. It was just embarrassing. Also, they redacted text messages about the cost of the desk in former Deputy Director Andrew McCabe's office. Not national security related, just embarrassing. Another troubling challenge we've had with Rosenstein is that he signed the FISA renewal application before a secret court to continue spying on Carter Page, even though Rosenstein knew at the time that Christopher Steele, the author of the dossier, had lied to the FBI about his unauthorized disclosures to the media.
Matt, this is Nick here. What kind of oversight does the Attorney General have on Rosenstein, and couldn't he force those documents to be released, or what's his role in all this?
He could and he should. I fear that the Attorney General has started to allow the inmates to run the asylum over at the Department of Justice. He has not exercised appropriate leadership, and he has allowed his recusal to really divorce himself from the type of accountability we would normally expect from the Attorney General.
So I see that the chairman of the House committee overseeing this, Gowdy, and the Speaker of the House have both stepped away from the impeachment resolution. Does that deter you in any way from moving forward to bring the question forward?
It doesn't at all, Tom. So much of the oversight work that I've done in the Congress has been in spite of the leadership structure, not because of it. We had to really convince our leadership to even allow us to hold hearings on the FBI and the Department of Justice's bias against President Trump. And so typically the way this works is that we make a call for action as the conservatives. The leadership rebuffs that call. And then when we get sufficient support from the American people and when folks all around the country call their members of Congress, then we see a little bit of movement. And so clearly for us to be successful in this endeavor, we are going to have to excite the body politic around the notion that there needs to be more action and more consequence in the Congress.
I know you have a pretty good relationship with President Trump, and has he been involved with your all's decision to do this in the House, or has he even remarked on that?
I have not talked to the president at all about this.
Okay.
I don't know if others have. I've spent my time talking to the president about his upcoming trip to Florida on the 31st of this month.
All of this comes the day before you break for 5 weeks. where is that break going to put all of this? Just hold it in abeyance, or will it go?
We always remain hopeful that during the 5-week district court period, that the witnesses and documents that we've sought will be produced. In the event that they are, there'll be no reason to proceed with impeachment when we return. But we've laid out the legal basis for impeachment, and now the Department of Justice has the August recess to cure the improper actions that they've taken during that time period. So I hope that things will get better. But if any, you know, if history is any guide, it'll just be a continued trickling of documents with unnecessary and indefensible redactions.
I guess, does that mean the House won't be voting on impeachment today or
before? That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. The first time the House could vote on impeachment would be when the Congress returns to session at the end of the August work period.
Well, weren't they discussing that you could vote on impeachment, or you could force a vote on impeachment today?
Yeah. Had the impeachment been filed in a privileged way, and I don't want to get too much in the weeds here, but if it had been filed as a privileged motion, it would have required a vote within 48 hours. Instead, we decided to file it in a non-privileged way to give the Department of Justice this time period during the August recess to cure what we believe are violations of the standards that they should be adhering to.
I see. Would this impeachment process work the same way a presidential impeachment process works? Go the House to the Senate?
Okay. Yeah, it would go from the House. The House would impeach, the Senate would try and potentially convict, and then House managers would prosecute that trial in the Senate.
Gotcha.
And you guys clearly have the motivation to follow through with this, if I'm judging by what you're saying. Are you worried that if you guys, after the break, have to go forward with this, then at that point, do you worry about the votes, or are you going to take that time during the break to rally support around your all's decision?
I don't think that we would have the votes for impeachment on the floor of the House today. And I think we've got to educate our fellow members of Congress who might not be on the Judiciary Committee, who may not have seen all this unfold. You know, we got folks working on a variety of different things here. And, you know, those of us who are frustrated by the Department of Justice's lack of production will have the opportunity to try to convince our colleagues.
Okay.
Tell me what you see, and perhaps does this impact any, do you think, the developing race, I guess would be the best word, for the House speakership?
I think those are very separate questions. I mean, I think we've got, you know, we've got a lot of really talented people who want to be Speaker of the House. I think that's a good thing. Jim Jordan would be the person that I would support. But we're a ways away from that, and I don't think that Speaker Ryan is leaving anytime soon.
I see. Jim Jordan, he's one of the members of the Freedom Caucus?
Yes, and he is running for Speaker, and I support him.
You ready for your trip to Niceville?
I cannot wait to have Don Jr. in Niceville. It's fantastic. But first, I'll be flying down on Air Force One with the president to Tampa when we have a rally for Ron DeSantis' campaign for governor.
Okay.
I suspect the president may say a nice thing or two about me. And that'll be on the 31st, and then we'll have Don Jr. in Niceville on the 2nd of August. So
I see.
We'll have plenty of Trump family activity in the Sunshine State over the next few days.
Okay. All right. Well, Matthew, I sure thank you for taking the time to talk to us. Anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
Yeah. Did you guys see all the huge wins for Northwest Florida in the National Defense Authorization Act?
Well, let's talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, we had $32 million more for the Gulf Test Range. That's on top of the $40 million that we got in the last National Defense Authorization Act.
Did you say $32 million, Matt? I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, okay. It's 31.9 to be precise. 31.9 for the Gulf Test Range. We got a $38 million cyber test facility at Eglin. We got $34 million to build new classrooms for F-35 training pilots. We got $28 million for a new dormitory facility for F-35 pilots. Just a little bit to the west, We got $10 million for a North Tower at Whiting Field. So really,
wow.
We loaded up the Brinks truck.
Great.
for Eglin Air Force
Base. Tell me what the money for the test range will be spent on.
Updated telemetry and radar systems. So, you know, when our pilots go out over the Gulf Range and, you know, practice shooting and practice their maneuvers, some of the radar systems date back to the days of Bob Sykes. And so the aircraft are smart enough to know that the radar systems aren't really a threat, and it impairs the training mission. So if we update the radar and telemetry, particularly on munitions as we go to more hypersonic and supersonic systems, it allows us to be able to attract a more diverse type of mission.
Very cool.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of folks here on Eglin, Northwest Florida, be happy with all that work there. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I mean, look, I mean, when you're looking at, you know, north of $100 million in construction going on, that reverberates throughout the local economy.
Yeah.
You going to speak any when you're here on the customary use issue in Walton County?
Oof, that's a hair.
Man.
I mean, you know, I tell you, it really is a bizarre thing that in Walton County, Florida, back in, I don't know, the 30s or 40s, they went and platted people's property lines all the way to the mean high water mark. I mean, I'm glad that was not a mistake that was made everywhere.
Yeah. Do you know who owned that land when all that was done? Was that county land, or do you know where the county got it?
I mean,
I've been looking, and I can't
find it. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea, but they, yeah, I mean, the original plats in Walton Fulton went all the way to the water, which is just, which, you know, no other community in Northwest Florida I'm aware of, or even in Florida, made that mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that fight over sand continues all the time, it seems like, and we have beautiful white sand beaches.
Sand.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, guys, call me if you need me.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Your time.
See
ya.